Amen. Let's go ahead and take our Bibles tonight to the book of Ecclesiastes once again. We're actually entering the last chapter in Ecclesiastes chapter number 12. So we will spend a couple weeks here, one on the first verse and then one for near the end of the first verse in chapter 13. But we're going to look at some other verses tonight. Ecclesiastes chapter number 12, looking forward to how God's going to work in our hearts tonight. I know he can and he will if you give him the opportunity to. His word is something that's amazing, and it's quick, it's powerful, it's alive, and we're coming to the end of this book, and we've seen a lot and learned a lot, and the main thing that I've seen in there, we need to put God in our thoughts. We need to put God in our thinkings, and if you ever went to a class to learn how to build a sermon, they talk about the importance of the introduction, trying to grab people's attention, and they also talk about a conclusion, and we've mentioned to you before that this is Solomon, the preacher, at the end of his life, giving a sermon, and he's coming to the conclusion, he's wrapping it up, and he's talked about all these different things he's done. He talked about all the things he's tried pleasure, it didn't make him satisfied, he talked about achievements, it talked about money, it talked about all these different things. He didn't find any type of fulfillment, anything that he did without God. The importance of putting God in your mind, putting God in your decision-making, and putting God first is key. So when we come to verse number 1, I know what some people are going to say, you know, when it says chapter 12, verse number 1, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. I know some people are going to say, well, I'm not a youth anymore. This doesn't apply to me. It does. And you say, why? It's saying, hey, look, don't wait too long to remember God and remember God as your creator. Do it in the days of your youth. How many of us would have saved so much trouble if we would have been living for God in our youth? If we had came to know Christ at a young age, and some of you have, and some people don't bear the scars that other people do with the different sins that are, and I'm thankful the Lord saved me at a young age, and I'm thankful that he saved me because of being saved and because of the godly influences in my life. There's things I didn't experience that a lot of people in the world have experienced, and don't get me wrong, I was not perfect. I did plenty of things wrong. I was a pretty rotten kid in my mind. My mom tells me, you weren't that bad, so that doesn't really make me feel any better that bad, but at the same time, and that's what we're going to mainly focus on is just actually that phrase, remember now thy creator. And there's three main words that are found there, remember, and then the word now, and then the word creator. Because in that phrase, I believe there's a lot of powerful lessons that we can learn. And it's kind of wrapping up the book of Ecclesiastes. If he would have remembered the creator throughout his life, he would not have had so much turmoil. When he made his decisions, he wouldn't have done it without God. And Solomon made a lot of great decisions. Solomon made some stupid ones. Some people would say he, you know, marrying that many women and having that many concubines, obviously is not God's plan. He didn't put God in that decision. Making decisions about building false gods, temples, and things like that for his wives. He didn't put God in his decision making. So we got to remember that. If we put God in the equation, and I think that's the main thing for me in this book is he did so many different things, but he tried to do it without God, and he's miserable. He keeps on saying vanity of vanities, everything under the sun, and, you know, all those different things. Even in chapter number 2, after he boasts of all these different things, he said, I hated my life. And how many times have we gotten to that point? We know there is a God. We believe there's a God, but we try to live outside of the knowledge of God. And what does that do? It makes you miserable. Now, there may be some fun in sin for a season. The Bible even says that there's pleasure for a season. But if we try to live our lives as a truly born-again Christian without God, we're going to end up a bit miserable. And he's saying here, at this last point, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. Let's keep on going. It says, while the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. Now, it's kind of interesting. The next seven verses begins talking about, and we're going to talk about a few minutes about these, and then we're going to get back to that main phrase, talks about being old. And I went and read through a lot of different commentators, different things, and they have each of these different phrases. They're talking about different things about how much of a pain it is when you get old. Anybody know what I'm talking about? You know, it starts hurting. You forget things. You can't hear as well. You can't see as well. I see some of the people back in the back with white hair smiling. You know, that's what Solomon here as the aged preacher is now looking back at his life And he's reminding us, hey, look, begin to serve God when you have the ability to. I know for me in my life, I've been at the bedside of people who are getting ready to pass away, and I've heard different things. I've heard a lot of people live regrets. I have. I've heard people say, I wish I was a better this or a better that. But the thing I think I've heard more than anything else in my life was, I wish I would have started serving God at a younger age. Even those that were saved at a younger age and they lived for themselves, I wish I would have done something more and better. I know we look and we got a few people in their 20s out here, and you know, it's easy to want, they have so much going on, so much potential, so much of this, so much of that. But if we could go back, you know, what would it be? We would tell, hey, live for God today. You're going to save yourself a lot of trouble. You're going to save yourself a lot of headache. Put him in the equation. Now, when it says youth, it's not really talking about those that we would consider teenagers. They're inside the group. But it's talking about those whose hair hasn't turned white yet or fallen out yet. So if my hair's gray or white a little bit, and I look around the room, there's other people who has gray hair, and some people who sometimes have gray hair and sometimes don't. You'll get that sooner or later, which is okay. So, but remember thy creator in days of youth. They're saying while you have the ability. He's not saying to the older people, hey, don't remember me. You know what he's saying? He's saying, do it when it's going to make the greatest difference in your life. As I was reading, I was thinking, the Lord brought to my mind, if I remember how the Creator in days of my youth when I'm raising my children, you know how much headaches I'm going to save for my kids? If I remember that God is the Creator and he should be in my thought pattern, he should not only be in the equation, he should be the equating factor. He should be the number one factor inside that equation. How does God want me to raise my children? How does God want me to handle this? How does God want me to do that? You know what? We will save our young people a lot of trouble. I was talking to my dad probably Monday, and we were talking a little bit. We were talking about a certain family, nobody inside the church, and or maybe it was the church I was just at, and I talked about how I was impressed with the presentation of the church or the family and how they had quality standards in their life. They lived for the Lord. They put him first in a lot of different areas. And my dad said to me, hey, you know, standards are good. And I remember as a young person, there was a list of things that I could not do. If that list was a little bit longer, it probably would have saved me a little bit of headaches, but I am thankful for the list of things that I could not do as a young person. It saved me from a lot of headache and a lot of trouble. And he's saying here, when you have the ability, do it now. Don't put it off. So no matter how old you are, if you're in your teens, which I don't think anybody's in their teens out here, in their 20s, 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, we'll just leave it at that. At that age, he says, do it now. So look at verses 2 through 7 here. We'll go through it really quickly, and we'll have you look at a couple of things here and help understand how they're talking about the older people. While the sun or the light or the moon or the stars be not darkened, nor the clouds return after the rain. Now, some people think they're talking about not darkened is referring to the fact that they cannot see as well. Most people believe it's saying here that your age is going to happen, but it's not going to cause the sun or the moon or the world doesn't revolve around you. You're going to get young, and then you're going to get old, and then you're going to die. And that's a pessimistic way of looking at it, but at the same time, it's truth. He's saying, do it now. Don't put it off. Because the day's coming. And keep on going. Verse number 3, in the day when the keepers of the house tremble, and many people believe that is referring to your legs and your arms and your hands, those that are used, those parts of your body that are used to keep the house, and the strong men shall bow themselves. Now, this is one where it's talking about shoulders. I believe it's talking about how sometimes they stoop over. You know, some people time ask me how tall I am. I say 5'11 when I stand up straight. I don't always stand up straight, but that's as you get older, it gets worse and worse many times. Not for everyone, I understand that, but that's the case of many. The grinders cease because they are few. Anybody know what that is? Your teeth. things that grind, your grinders. And sometimes your teeth fall out. Many times your teeth fall out, unless you have them put in and or bridges and things like that, because they are few. And those that look out the window shall be darkened. Once again, eyesight is something that is taken away. The doors shall be shut in the streets when the sound of the grinding is low. It could also refer to hearing. And he shall rise up at the voice of the bird. Many times, this is most people believe this is talking about people who get up early in the morning when they don't want to. Sometimes I've heard many times, enjoy your sleep while you're young, because when you get older, you're going to have to get up plenty of times, and everything, every time. You can't hear that well, but as soon as you hear something, it's going to cause you to get up. So that's what the voice of the bird, meaning that you don't get quality sleep. And the daughters of music shall be brought low, referring to, once again, not being able to hear the music like you once were able to. Also, when they shall be afraid of that which is high. Most elderly people shouldn't be on ladders. I know a few people that still get up on roofs and ladders, but that's what they're saying, is because they're more fearful of the heights. And fear shall be in the way. It's the increasing fear of the things going on around them. The almond tree shall flourish. The almond tree is beautiful. It's pink, and then it goes into a whitish grayish. So it's referring to how many times people's hair will turn whitish and grayish. And the grasshopper shall be a burden. Even the littlest things become a burden for an older person. They allow the little things, because things that used to be easy to do, things that used to be simple to do, walking up steps, walking down steps. And I'm not minimizing it, because I know that I'm only 47, but I feel it in my own body sometimes in the morning time, not whining, because I know that many of you have it a lot rougher than I do. But I know that what it feels like, and a little bit, and that's even getting up now, even little things are a burden, and desire shall fail. You know, I think sometimes desires, certain desires, they stop. Some older people don't care as much about clothes or what they're wearing, and the idea, of course, they want it to match. And I know some other old ladies are going to tell me, that's not true, I have style. And like I said, it's not for everyone, but different desires that people had when they were young are things that are going to fail and going to go away. He says, because man goeth to his long home, and the mourners go about. And when you say man goeth to the long home, that means he's going somewhere, and it's going to be for a long time. So it's talking about eternity and talking about what's going to happen. Verse number 6, or ever the silver cord be loosed and the golden bowl be broken, or the pitcher shall be broken at the fountain, or the wheel broken at the cistern, referring about different body parts inside, then shall the dust return to the earth as it was. So, you know, our body is going to go back to the dust, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. So even though our body is going to return to dust, our spirit is going to go up to heaven. You know, earlier in that chapter in this book, we looked at that those people, that verse that, that people use to say that there's such thing as soul sleep, and how you when you go into the ground, that's it, you're done, you die, things like that. But this verse here clearly in the same book says, hey, your spirit's going somewhere. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, and that's a rejoicing thing for those that are believers, but at the same time, for those that are unsaved, it's a very discouraging thing. To think about what's going to happen to them. So that kind of gives you a feel for verses 2 through 7. Next week, we'll look at verses 8 through 14. But let's jump back at verse number 1, and that's the main crux of the message is, remember now thy Creator. First thing I want you to think about is the word remember. And you think it's kind of funny. We're talking about older people and talking about older things. One of the things that go first, it seems like, is your memory. And I know maybe it doesn't happen to you, but you can ask my wife. We forget things, I forget things all the time. She won't admit it that she forgets things because she forgot that she forgot them. But besides that, it's something, and we think Andrew might actually have that problem too, because Andrew forgets anything we ask him to do, but he's not that old. But the reality is your memory is something that does go. But if you go and you do a study, and we don't have time to do the study of all those different verses, but there's a lot of things the Bible tells us to remember. The one I want to remind you of is that in 1 Corinthians 11:25, we call it the Lord's Supper. After the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, "This cup is in the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as you drink it in remembrance of me." So Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. Why do you do that? It's because if we go through the Lord's Supper, and if you sincerely are taking the Lord's Supper and you're thinking about the blood and you're thinking about the body that was broken and you're thinking about our sins, you know what that does? There should be something working on the inside there about wanting to give our heart and life over to him. This is it. I mean, he did this for me. And he tells us to do it in remembrance of him. Why? Because we forget. We live our lives each day just going on our merry way, sometimes never even remember that Christ died for us. You say, "Pastor, why would you use that as an example of all the different things to remember in the Bible?" It's because he's saying here, remember now thy Creator. Who's our Creator? Jesus. And he is our Creator and God. I mean, think about it. If we remember him, let's remember that about him. Remember that he is our Creator, but let's not forget what he's done for us. That word remember is to mention, to bring to mind, to have your mind on. And that's what I've been saying all throughout this book. If your mind is on God and your mind is focused on him, believe me, it's going to change the way you live. It's going to change the way you think. You say, "How's it going to change the way I think?" You can have victory in your thought life. You can capture every thought into the obedience of Jesus Christ, like it talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. But we have to have him on our mind. We have to want him to be Lord and ruler of our life. We have to remember that this is honoring and pleasing to God, or this is displeasing to God. We need to remember what the things he has said, remember the things that he's taught us. We need to be mindful of him. We need to bring these things to memory, because we can live in sin and ignore and quench the Holy Spirit who's trying to remind us of what you're doing is wrong. It's a scary sight to get to a spot where you know you're doing wrong, the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, and you still just go ahead and do it. It's even scarier when you can't even hear the Holy Spirit's voice anymore because you're so deep into sin. It's because we don't like to live with him in our knowledge. If we live with God in our knowledge, then we can't say what we wanted to. If we live with God in our knowledge, we can't do the things that our flesh wants us to do. If we live with God in our knowledge and make him first in our life, if we remember him and remember what he's done for us, it means that we're going to want to sacrifice. But our flesh screams, "I don't want to sacrifice." So Solomon is coming and he's saying his final point, he's driving it home. He says, remember this, remember something. The second thing I want you to think about, not just the word remember, is the word now. You know, the devil has been doing what he's doing for a long time. Sometimes we're here, and we've been here 30 or 40 years, and we think we're a match for the devil. 50 or 60 years, and we think we got him under our thumb. I think we made a mistake. Now, with Christ, we have the victory. Through Christ, we have the victory. But I think the devil really, in my life and many other people's lives, doesn't always try to convince us not to live for God. You know what he tries to convince us to do? He tries to convince us to wait till tomorrow. He'll just say, "Hey, you can start reading your Bible more, but just wait till tomorrow. Hey, you can start doing this. You can forgive, but just do it tomorrow. You can give up that vice or that sin. Just do it tomorrow. Tomorrow you can start living for God. And tomorrow," you know, how many times have we said that? Sort of like that song, "Tomorrow, Tomorrow, I Love You Tomorrow." And I think the devil really likes tomorrow. And there's been a lot of different Bible characters who said tomorrow. Remember the Pharaoh and Moses? I have no idea why Moses asked him, "When do you want me to take the frogs away?" And he says, "Tomorrow." I don't know why. It's something that he was becoming. He's like, "Hey, I can handle it one more night." And that's many times what we think. We can handle our sin one more night, and tomorrow I'm going to wake up and be super Christian. I'm going to be on fire with God. I'm going to get up super early. I'm going to meet with God. I'm going to pray and do all these things. But let me just kind of veg out with my sin right now. So that's when he's saying here, there's an important thing I want you to do. I want you to remember. I want you to bring something to your mind. And I want you to do it now. And the great thing about that word now is, it's probably one of the most powerful words in the English dictionary. Why is that? It's because we cannot live in the past and we cannot live in the future. Only thing we can do is live in now. We can make decisions that we want to change our future with, but it's all we have is the now. This is the greatest moment right now in your life. Why is that? Because it's the only moment that you're living in. You don't know what tomorrow has to hold. You cannot change yesterday. You do not know what the future has to hold. You cannot change yesterday, but you can make a choice to remember thy Creator now. You can make a choice to live for Him now. You can make a choice to look in your Word and read His Word. You can plan to do something in the future, but what we're doing for God is now. And as we make that decision day to day, tons of verses in the Bible that talks about this. Psalms 90, verse 12. So teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Now, what is it that you're doing? And I'm guilty of it. You know, I'm gonna start doing this better now. No, I want to wait till the next day, or I want to procrastinate and say, I'm going to take care of that someday down the road. And maybe certain jobs and certain things you've got to put forward and you've got to push off for a little while because you don't have enough time today. You got to prioritize things. But Solomon is saying, no. When it comes to remembering, you need to do it now. You don't need to keep on putting it off. You don't need to keep on saying tomorrow. You don't need to say, I'm going to serve him. No, it's now. Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 18, put it this way. So then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We need to learn how to redeem the time. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. He says, look, redeeming the time. You understand what the will of the Lord is. Don't waste your time. Redeeming the time, which means remember now. Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Do not keep on putting it off. That is one of the tricks the devil has used over and over and over in so many lives. And people at their deathbeds, or they know that they're sitting in their chairs and they say, I wish I could do more. I just physically can't do it. Nowadays, you know, people that are my age or younger, or even around my age, they're saying, I wish I could do more. I just wish I had more time. You have more time now than you will definitely in 20 years. You have more time now than you're going to have in 30 years. I've seen so many godly people sitting in their rocking chairs going back and forth saying, I wish I didn't waste my time on that. And they got their stories. They love their stories. And it's great, but I wish that I would have done more for God. Looking back over my life and I'm seeing, and the point is, they didn't live in the now when it comes to the Creator, when it comes to God. So remember now, and the next phrase is the word Creator. The next word is thy Creator, but the word Creator. And I love preaching about God the Creator. The reason why is because it just puts things into perspective. What do you mean? We wouldn't be here without God. The amazing thing is, you wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here, none of us wouldn't be here if God didn't create it. So who are we to look to God and say, I don't want to listen to you. I think I know better than you. So we would never say that. There's plenty of people in the world that says that. There's plenty of people in our Congress that say that today, and in the Senate, and in the leaderships of the houses. And I know I'm not speaking to them, and I know I'm speaking to Christians, but many times, you know what? We like to tell God what we think we should do with our lives instead of remembering now thy Creator. So when you're thinking about God, I remember what he's done for me on the cross. That will encourage me to surrender myself. But one of the things that humbles me the most is God created me. And if God created me, who am I to complain to the way he tells me how to live? It's sort of like you make something and then they tell you what to do. It's sort of like having kids. You know, you make them and then they tell you, no, I'm going to do this with my life. And he's like, what? God is different, though. He is all-knowing. He's all-powerful. And he knows what's best in your life. Think about some of these verses. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and earth. I think we all would agree that verse is true. How we live from that verse is important. If you truly believe that God created heaven and earth and none of this stuff would be anywhere without him, what's the next thing? Look what it says in Revelation 4:11. The Bible says, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. Now listen to the next phrase. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. That's a great verse. It says, for God's pleasure we were created. Wow. How many of us get pleasure when our kids don't listen to us? I know not everybody has kids. And oh, little Johnny, that's great. You lied to me. Little Johnny, you smacked your little brother. You know, no, we don't get pleasure out of that. And how can God look at his creation? And yes, I know he gave us a free will. I know we make our decision, but how can he look at us as a creation? Because that's what we are. He created us out of the dust of the earth. And we don't live for his glory. We were created for his pleasure, for his glory. Colossians 1, 16, verse 17, 16 and 17 says, "For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers." Now listen, here it goes again. All things were created by him and for him. You were created for God, for his pleasure. And then it says, "And he is before all things, and by him all things consist." The only reason why you even exist is because there's a God. So when Solomon is saying, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth," he's not just rambling on trying to say something that's kind of slick and make people remember, because that's an easy thing to remember. No, he's saying, "I want you to remember that God created you. And if God created you, you owe him something. Look at the purpose why he created you. He created you for his pleasure. He created you for his honor and his glory. What does he say for us to do? We're supposed to bring glory to him with our lives. Remember that in your decision making, you're going to change the way you do things." So when we choose to say, "I know he's God. I appreciate that he's God. Good, he's God. I'm glad he can take care of me because he can do all things." No, "remember now that I created you" means that, hey, I'm here for a reason. I'm here for a purpose. I'm here to bring him glory. I was created for his pleasure. He tells me to honor him. He tells me to glorify him with my life and with my whole being. Romans chapter 9, verse 20 puts it this way. "Nay, but O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus?" You think about what it's saying there. Listen, shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? I don't know how many of you create things or make things with your hands. But imagine if you're crocheting or making a blanket and you sit there and you make your blanket, and at the end the blanket looks at you and say, "I didn't want to be this color. I want it to be a towel or a doily. I didn't want to be a blanket." That sounds stupid. You say, "Pastor, you're getting a little bit off here." No, we're looking at a God who's creative. I know blankets don't have thoughts. I know blankets. But looking at a God who created us, and we're looking at him and saying, "God, why'd you make me this way? God, I don't like the way you made me." And that's where the problem with these gender issues is, you know, a boy looking and saying, "I don't like the fact you made me a boy. I want to be a girl." And it's wrong and it's perverted. But at the same time, I don't like the fact, "God, you made me this way. I want you to change me to do something else." We need to learn to surrender to God's will and God's way for our lives. Romans chapter 1, verses 20 and 21 talks about steps down to homosexuality and things like that, but where does it begin? "For the invisible things of him that from creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened." Wow. We like to see that for the progression of some wicked sin, and we blast people for it. But how often do we know God for who he is, and we don't glorify him that way? How often does it, when it says, "Remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth," and we turn around and we say, "Okay, I know he's God, but this is what I want to do." And we're not thankful for the way that God made me. We're not glorifying God with our lives. We're not doing what he desires for us to do. So Solomon's coming, and he's preached this long sermon, and he's gone through all these chapters, and he's gone through so many different things, so many great things we learned from it. And he's coming to a conclusion, and he's saying, "Hey, here's the time. Remember now thy creator." These first 11 chapters, shows I lived without remembering God. I lived without putting God in the equation. I lived without putting God first, and everything was vain in this world. Everything this life has to offer, whether it's pleasure, wisdom, accomplishment, fame, all the things I had, it was worthless without God. And so remember now thy Creator. Don't forget to put God in the equation. And don't just look at him as some man that's upstairs that, yes, he does love us. And yes, he does care for us in grace and mercy. But he is the creator of this universe. And we are the creation. We should worship him. We should glorify him. And we should want to honor him with our lives. So you get the word remember. Bring it to your mind. Continually remember bringing it to your memory. What should we remember? When should we remember? We should do it now. Even when you're there and you're listening to preaching, Lord, speak to my heart. I know you're the one that created me. I know that you're the one that has given me this heart. Give me the Holy Spirit. I want to learn what you want me to from this passage. And remind me of the fact that you are the creator. Remind me that I wouldn't even be here. Sometimes I am kind of prideful, and sometimes I think that people should be thankful that I'm around because I give them talents and abilities and because of what I do and all the things I have to offer. But the reality is, without you, God, I wouldn't even be here. And then I understand that you're my creator, so I need to look what the creator says about my life. And the creator says that I was created for your pleasure. The creator says I was created to bring you honor and bring you glory with my life. And that I shouldn't be complaining. I shouldn't try to go against you or against the way things that you have made me for. Instead, to be thankful and try to live for the way you called me to do. And then you see that next phrase. In the days of thy youth. Now, it's easy to talk about things. It's harder to live them. And I know that some of you in here have kids in the house. Some of you have grandkids. Some in the house, some not in the house. Some don't have any children. But if we're going to teach the kids, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth, they need to see it from us too. They truly do. They need to say, have you thought about it? Have you prayed about it? Have you sought God? But those words are pretty meaningless when they've never seen you do it. You need to pray to God about what college you're going to go to or who you're going to marry or this or that when they haven't heard you say those words. Our kids should know that we pray. Our kids should hear us pray. And our kids should see prayer as being answered in our lives. And we should give God glory for it. It's easy to tell a young person, you need to pray about it. It's hypocritical for you to be telling somebody to do it when you're not doing it yourself, or at least trying to do it. Don't give the pretense that that's something you've done when it's not what you do. Remember now the Creator in the days of thy youth. Let's remember him with our lives. And then when we encourage our young people to do it, we'll have stories. I remembered God. I put him first here. I put him first there. You know what happened? God answered my prayer. When I put God first here, God opened this door. When I did not put God first, God shut this door. We can give examples about how God is our creator, and he can do all things. Now, when we read the Bible and we learn from the Bible, we make decisions. We're drawn to a conclusion here. We all look at this and say, Pastor, I can't do this. I've never done this. How can I do this now? That's the point. You start now. You make the decision. I'm going to remember him. What am I going to remember? I'm going to remember that he's the creator and I owe my life to him. And when am I going to remember that? Now. Whatever now is. Next week, when it's now, that's when I'm going to remember it. A few seconds from now, remember now thy creator. And don't put it off. I think that's what Solomon is saying. Don't put it off till you're older. The devil's going to try to convince you to do that. He says, do it now when it can make a difference. Do you think he would tell an older person not to do it anymore? Of course not. He's just trying to encourage young people. Don't put it off. But it's the same thing he would say to you. Because as an older man right now, he's writing down these things. And that's the reason why he wrote verses 2 through 7 saying, this is going to happen, and this is going to happen, and this is going to, your eyes are going to fail you, your ears are going to fail you, your legs are going to fail you, your hair is going to fall out or turn white, or all these different things are going to happen when you get older, and it's no fun. So remember how to do it now, because when you get older, you're going to need God. Don't be one of those sitting in that rocking chair saying, I wish I would have more energy to do now. Many senior citizens, especially older senior citizens, that say, Pastor, I wish I could get out there to clean those bathrooms, or I wish I could get out there to do this or do that. I wish I would have made time earlier in my life to do things for the Lord. They didn't remember now. They always said, maybe someday in the future. Always had a plan to teach at Sunday school class. I always had a plan to do that project. I always had that plan to talk to my neighbor. I always had that plan to teach my children this. It's the now. And I know some of you are younger, and you say, well, I've got plenty of time. That's why Solomon's saying, no, remember now thy creator. Because as a pattern you learn to do now, you'll save yourself a lot of headache, and you will save your family a lot of headache. Might be a little change at the beginning, but in the end, it's going to help your family quite a bit. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today, and I thank you for your word. Thank you for this verse. Remember now thy creator. It's humbling to think we did not make ourselves. It's humbling to think that there is a God that created this world that loves us and that cares for us and has a plan and a purpose for our lives. Lord, help us to remember that. Help us not just to bring it to our memory every once in a while or when we read our Bibles in the morning, but to continually keep that in the forefront of our mind as we're making decisions. There is a God who loves me, that created me, that I'm going to live for now. Lord, I pray you speak to people's hearts. I know you reminded me this morning about how you can take care of things. I don't have to try to figure out things on my own. I just have to be faithful and fear the Lord and keep his commandments. That's what my job is. You're going to take care of the rest. How am I going to fear the Lord and keep his commandments? It's when I'm going to remember now that you're my creator. No matter how young or old we are, Lord, help us to do it. Help these young people to do it also. Not only for themselves, but for future generations, and also to save themselves from a lot of heartache and pain. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for these words. God, work in our hearts and lives. In Jesus' name, amen.